Welcome to the Rich Relationship Podcast with Gil
and Renee, where amazing things happen. Our goal is to help build, repair, and restore healthy relationships.
Our primary focus is on the marriage relationship. However, the topics are applicable to the relationships that we value most. Remember, we're stronger together.
Let's grow.
Well, we are actually back, and we actually are going to be starting this episode this week with a special guest. You know, we have been out for a little while.
Yeah, we've been recuperating from that 10-week course we did.
Yeah, that was fun, and a lot of people responded, and that we thank everybody who actually signed up for the course, and we're going to be starting it up again here pretty soon. But today we actually have an awesome guest that we had an opportunity to be on his show.
Yeah,
and it was actually video. This is a little bit different. He even told us at the beginning this is of his first podcast. So
we want to welcome you, Pastor Thalee Dickerson, and thank you for being here with us. And we will hope that your first podcast experience is memorable. Thank you for being with us.
Well, I'm certainly excited about being on Rich Relationship with the Beavers. I'm excited about that.
Well, we appreciate it. And just so everybody's listening, Pastor Dickerson, we actually had an opportunity to be on his Wednesday service, which was awesome. It was an awesome opportunity and awesome time, because we don't normally get to do video, but we actually got a chance to do that. So this time he actually gets to do audio, and he's actually from the United Christian Church here in Prattville, Alabama. So if you ever want to reach out to that, that's where you can actually find him on a regular, and we'll let him give all his contact information at the end of the show, and it'll be actually be in our show notes, and you can get it on the episode and on the podcast, on the website. So, but before we actually go into that, and we want you guys to actually get to know him a little bit, because, you know, you see pastors up there and they're preaching and teaching and doing those things, and they're kind of mysterious too, because people don't really get to see them up close and personal. So we really thank you, Pastor, for actually coming on and kind of opening up a little bit and sharing a little bit about yourself. Ooh. So we would actually like to start out by just saying, why don't you tell us, tell our audience a little bit about Pastor Thalee Dickerson from United Christian Church.
Well, there's not a whole lot to tell about myself, man. My life is certainly committed to my call, which is to lead a people to be closer to Christ. Of course, born and raised a country boy right there in Ottawa County. Little small area called Otagaville is where I was reared. And of course, I have a little college background. Went to Selma University, Alabama State, where I spent a little time there. Then eventually migrated here to Jefferson County, in the Birmingham area. And that's where I currently reside. So I commute every day from Birmingham to Prattville, which is about 100 miles one way.
That's dedication right there.
To serve the people of God. So been doing that for 17 years. We started United in 2004, the storefront there. And God has just been, Ephesians 3:20 said he would do exceeding abundant above all you can ask or think. And we are living testament that God certainly can and has done that for United Christian Church. I'm the father of four wonderful, blessed children. They're all grown now. They range from the age of 30-something all the way down to, I think my son will be 21. I have three girls, one son. Actually, this month is his 21st birthday. We'll be traveling to Nassau, Bahamas for a week to bring them to manhood.
Oh, 21. Boy, that's going to be fun. Yeah. I want to just, y'all, if y'all see this gentleman here, you would never think he has that many. And when you just said that, my mouth kind of dropped open. I was like, wait a minute, you don't look that you could be that old.
It's called healthy eating.
Is it that prayer, is it prayer, fasting, and a plant-based lifestyle?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Pastor Dickerson is a fellow plant-based consumer, and that was another way that God allowed us to connect and find a sense of community together. And it's true. It really does help you to not only to look better, but it helps you to feel better.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because I noticed even looking at your feed, you share different tips on eating. And so you're not just sharing the gospel, you're sharing your life with people. And one of the things that you shared with us, you know, like as far as even with your church, you know, you said there's a lot of people who are divorced or, and so I think so many times in church, we don't realize that we struggle with the same things that people in the world struggle with, but we have a different way to overcome it. And so what I want to ask you is, share a little bit about that, about, you know, your relationship journey with marriage.
Well, it has been different. When I say different, I grew up in an era that once you made a mistake, as far as premarital sex or pregnancy outside of wedlock, you was told and directed that if he or she was good enough to lay with, certain they're good enough to marry.
Mm.
Whether that's was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, that's what we were taught. And I kind of, my wife and I at the time, we kind of found ourselves in that situation. And both being young Christians, of course, we all want to obey God and certainly obey our elders. We took on that task that was, you know, pretty good for a long time. Of course, we were married for more than 28 years. But as the kids, different things happen. And what it takes to be married wasn't there in the foundation. Then when things happen, they are easily visible as you grow into that. So sometimes, I guess what I'm saying, sometimes the right thing can be the wrong thing all at the same time.
Right.
And that's kind of what we have found ourselves at. Although, again, being Christian, doing our absolute best to please God, to please each other, to make it work. But sometimes, if it's not there, it's not there. You live in misery, and then you move from living in misery to a place of shame, a place of hurt, a place of letting down each other, your family, your church family. You feel like for a period of time, felt like that you let God down until you mature in Him and find out that certainly there's no condemnation to any of us that are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
You know,
and His grace is certainly. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, I think about something. I want to ask two questions. One question is, you said, if it's not there, what do you, as you look back on it, what do you think that it that wasn't there was? If you had to reverse engineer, what was it that was not, you said you, things you didn't get in your foundation. What was it that you didn't get that you felt that it would, if you would have known then what you know now, it possibly could have helped you or it could help the person who's in your same situation?
The commitment, the commitment to the decision spiritually. A lot of time, when you're younger, you make decisions based off of feelings. And love is never a feeling. It would become a feeling, but love is a commitment, a decision. It has nothing to do with the situation. It has to do with what God has ordained. Although we try our absolute best to take our mess and want God to really sanction that. But sometimes that just doesn't happen. So that's what I mean, the commitment,
right?
From a spiritual standpoint, having, there's a term I when I teach my ministers that I love to say, we can be anointed and ignorant at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
sometimes when we enter into a relationship, you know, we're anointed to do it, but you don't have the proper information to carry out that anointing.
Correct.
You know, you said that is so important, because even on our show, we talk about that all the time, about getting prepared before you actually say I do. And people sometimes don't take that too seriously. They take the preparation for marriage very seriously, as far as when it comes to a wedding and the parties and the colors and all those things that are going to be very quickly forgotten about. But then when the rubber meets the road and they have to actually start doing the work of being married, it can become very challenging. So as you look back on it, when you were younger coming up, that, like you said, those, some of those old mantras that people gave you as far as laying with them and staying with them, when you were coming up, was counseling or even marital, you know, preparation or premarital counseling something that was even introduced or even an option for you at that time?
Yes, yes. Went through all of that, all the premarital thing, all the counseling. But truthfully, minds and pressure had already helped you made up your mind even before you went into the counseling and the premarital sessions because of the situation that was taking place. It was the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, you have a child, both of you saying you're Christian. So in order not to shame the church and to shame God, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. Now, understand that we can't shame God. We know that now, but at the time, you don't know that. You're just trying to be that example of doing, again, what we was told that it was right.
You know, and there's that word again that I said I had two questions, and it's the word shame. I think as believers, we know about fear. We know that the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. But the thing I want to really unpack a little bit is shame. Why do you think that there is so much shame in men in regards to understand or realizing that maybe what it takes to be married, I just don't have? Why is there so much shame associated with that?
Well, I don't know about other men, but about me, mm-hmm. I like women. Whatever I put my hands on, what I put my mind to do, I want to be successful in that.
Right.
And just thinking about being a failure, and it's your fault, you know, it demonizes your mind. It makes you feel like that you're unworthy.
Right.
What can I say to somebody who hasn't been through what I've gone through? What can I say? You feel like you feel inadequate. You feel, again, like I said, that shame. Everybody's having couples fellowship. All your peers, they're traveling there with their spouse, and here you go, just looking around, man, I failed. You know, and then it takes the Holy Spirit to remind you that you're not a failure.
Right.
Get out of shame. But that takes time. That's not anything that happens over a period of time. For instance, like this conversation, this is my first time ever publicly talking about my situation.
Right.
I've alluded to it in other places, but I never from the platform of preaching, because my daddy told me years ago, boy, whatever you go through, you better not use that pulpit to do nothing.
Right.
You preach Jesus up there and sit your little behind down. Mm-hmm. That's what my dad said.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a part of that same, because for us growing up in the North, it was what goes on in our house stays in our house. But I think that, unfortunately, that's why so many other people make the same poor choices we made, because we don't share our stories with people. That's what we were talking about before, was, you know, by you being willing to share your story, your pain, your struggle can give someone else a solution to something before, yes, they go into it. And so we are
we
so
really
grateful,
yes,
and humble,
absolutely,
that you are open to that. Something the Lord was really showing me about shame is that we understand fear. Fear is, I'm afraid of what someone can do to me or what has happened or what could happen. But the Lord showed me that shame is us being afraid of what someone else thinks of us. And so the reason why that is something I want us to really talk about as believers is because when you said it, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I think that if we can empower people with the understanding that we're going to make mistakes, we're going to make bad choices, but that's not a reason to have shame. It's a reason to understand that we're human. And I thank you because you have influence and you're in front of people, but to be able to let people see that we make poor choices just like everyone else, but you didn't stay down, you got up. And so,
yes,
instead of shame, I mean, it can be, we just have to understand what shame is. So when it comes, we should know it's not from God.
Yes. Part of the way that I got out of it, I shouldn't say got out, but dealt with the shame, the hurt, not feeling worthy, is that just really through prayer, really through allowing the Holy Spirit to comfort you. I can remember like it was yesterday when I was contemplating just quitting ministry. So I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. Just let me. I'm still gonna be saved, Lord, but don't. I don't want to serve no more. I don't want to preach. I don't want to do nothing. Just let me show up somewhere where no one knows me. Just let me lift my hand. And the Holy Spirit spoke just like it was this morning to me. Said, "I chose you."
That's right.
I knew what you was gonna go through before you knew what you was gonna go through. Exactly. And I've already made a way of an escape. Oh, listen. He said. He told me, I chose you.
Yep.
That's right.
So if I chose you and I know that, I just need you to trust me through this process.
Absolutely. The call on your life is so much bigger than we as humans, the mistakes that we're going to make just by being human. You know, even if we try our best not to do things and to make those mistakes, and not only in life, but in our relationships and those things, they're still inevitably are going to happen because we are fallible humans. And I think that's where the grace doesn't come in, not only for the individual, but especially for our leaders in the church who have gone through things. And like you just said, just briefly, where this is the first time you talked about it publicly because of that perception that is attached, that you are infallible of making a mistake. And Renee already said it, but I thank you for just opening up and doing it, because it is something that can really bring healing and restoration to people who are not only in leadership, but also are in a position of influence in everybody's everyday life.
And you know something, for me, because I understand, because Gil was a child of divorce. His parents were divorced when he was when he was 8 years old.
Right.
And when we got married at 21, I still felt the impact of that because it was never talked about. It was never discussed.
Wow. Right.
But as he began to talk about it, because I always say, whatever you don't talk out, you're going to act out. And so that shame is really an attack on your identity.
It is. It is. And Pastor, Renee kind of led into it a little bit. Because I was a child of divorce and I actually went through it. Looking back on it now, I think sometimes the parents don't realize what it actually does to the children, you know, the consequences of some of the things that, can you talk to that a little bit as far as some of the things that you may have experienced or that you can share and what you've seen and how it may have impacted your children and how did you guys overcome that?
Well, the first thing, again, wisdom from my parents is, whatever you do, don't point the finger.
Yes, the blame. We call it the blame thrower.
Own up to, so it's you.
Yes.
And it's me. It's kind of like the old song, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord.
Amen. Standing in the need of prayer.
So I am, my life is a transparent life. I have an open book. There's very few secrets. So if that's true publicly, then certainly it's true in my home.
Amen.
My children, they know everything, and the blame is on me because I consider myself, since God told me that I'm the chosen one, he chose me, I consider my one the leader. So I receive all responsibility.
Yep.
It's not your mom's fault. It's not, you know, it's me. I made bad decisions. I made a bad choice, you know, so forth and so on. So that's the initial stage there. Then they will have a whole nother level of respect for you as a leader, as a father, or as a parent in general, if you learn not to point the finger and do the blame game. Say, yes. Hey, I missed it. Now, this is what you need to do not to miss it. Can you please learn from my mistakes?
And I think it's so beautiful that, so basically you're saying you're a man and you own it.
Yes.
You fall on the sword and you don't put out the blame thrower.
Yes.
And so that's something I think that so many of our men need to hear that.
The only advocate I have is the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
I can't justify myself. I can't explain why. I don't make excuses for yourself. So I know it's me.
Right.
It's my fault. And
right.
Because it's my fault, I need the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, I need you. This crib, I'm going a whole nother direction.
That's okay. This
is why I'm a worshiper.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my music team all that. I don't need a band. I don't need singers. When you've been broken, Mm-hmm. When you've been in a place, then worship is genuine.
And you mentioned that as far as especially after you've gone through the lamenting process and some of those things of understanding, hey, accepting the responsibility for decisions and choices that you made. And this is applicable not just in a divorce setting, but this is just applicable to every facet of life. When you realize that you made a mistake, whatever it may be, whether you're married or single, you know, can you talk a little bit to the process of you forgiving yourself? Because that is a natural thing that people don't understand, that yes, I made a mistake. Like you just said, I owned it. I made a mistake. But guess what? You have to also accept forgiveness for that mistake on yourself. Can you talk a little bit to that?
That is the first, as a believer, not just as a husband or a pastor or a CEO or a father, that's for a believer, you know, to say, I own up to it. That is the initial step to repentance, mm-hmm. you know, changing your mind. Say, okay, I need help.
Yeah.
Psalms 51, if I'm not mistaken, said, Lord, wash me. Yes, I messed up. Make me over again. Clean me with hyssop. It's me. Mm-hmm. It's not Bathsheba. It's not all these other things. It's me, God. I made a bad decision. I done the wrong thing. Now, if you can find forgiveness in yourself, then it's easy to forgive others. Because we know the forgiveness comes from God. That, you know, that's already
established. Right.
But once we learn to forgive ourselves, and then once that happens, then walk in integrity. Walk with your head up. Mm-hmm. Square your shoulders.
Yeah.
Say, and realize that a mistake does not the purpose of God on your life.
Or, you know, the thing that I love about God, and one of the things he keeps reminding me, because, you know, I think everyone in ministry has those days when you want to quit. I mean, I'm like, look, I don't want to do this anymore. Why did you?
Twice
I don't want to do this.
Like,
I always say, I say I quit every day, and then I just start again every morning, but I quit every day. And so I think a part of it is understanding that until people hear these transparent conversations, they think that being in Christ means you have it all together. And that is far from the truth. It means that God uses broken, raggedy people with hurts and pains. And that's to show everyone that he could use anyone.
Yes.
And so for you, as far as overcoming the, you know, accepting responsibility, overcoming the shame, where are you in the process of letting God prepare your heart to love again? Where are you in that process?
I start to sing a verse of a song right there. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on the Lord.
Yeah.
Where I am in the process is just allowing healing to continue to take place. If you are a public figure, especially in the church arena as a pastor, a leader, people begin to find out that you're single, you're no longer married.
Right.
How you say it?
You become bait.
The doors open up, the floodgate open, the floodgate open.
Right.
And that's where you have to maintain your focus, maintain your understanding, your calling,
mm-hmm.
Your character, and certainly your integrity. And just wait on God. I know that sounds strange.
No, it doesn't. From
the male perspective, because we've been told that a man that finds it, you know, it is normally the female that wait on God. But in the healing process,
yes,
you know, you're not in a tremendous hurry. And plus, I don't want to have a stain on my record where you dated 80,000 people right. before you made a choice.
Come right. on, say that again, brother.
So you wait until, you know, until you wait.
Right. So yeah. If you just joined us, we're having an awesome conversation with Pastor Thalia Dickerson from United Christian Church. We've been talking a little bit about divorce, but we're also talking about the road that leads you back to recovery and moving on in life and admitting and accepting and still
owning
pressing
it.
on and holding on. Yeah, so we thank you for that. But one of the things I always like asking our guests as we coming up, this time actually flies by so fast when you get into a good conversation that really is going to help some people. Knowing what you know now, now that you're kind of looking to, as they say, get back on the horse and maybe go down that road again to establishing another relationship. Sir. Knowing what you know now, what you've been through, your experiences, what would you do differently, or just kind of on that road going down it again?
Well, one of the things that I certainly would do different is that make sure that whomever would be in my life, they understand what I do.
Right.
My passion for what I do. I would not. And I mean that I would not love anyone more than I love God.
Yeah.
And they have to understand that I'm passionate about my relationship with God. And I refuse to give up a standard of righteousness to be in a relationship.
And I think people don't understand that.
They have to understand that from day one. Okay. It's God first. And what else follow that? That we'll deal with that, but he's not just going to be the center, but he's going to be in control.
Yes. And I think people who have healthy relationships, you know, I always say people who don't got it, don't get it. But people who have healthy relationships would not expect for you to make God second, because he's going to be first for them.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
So as we're actually coming up on the actual, this just blew by. Actually coming up.
Wow.
I know. I'm sitting here looking at the clock and I'm like, oh man, I maybe want to ask one more question. And I'll ask this one question, then I'll let you give your contact information for everybody who wants to kind of jump in and see what Pastor is doing and watch you and all those things. But as you're going down that road of maybe going into, after you've established and told this person that, hey, God is first, what does that actually look like when it comes to relationships and finding a balance between, you know, your ministry and your calling, and also how that fits into the relationship of establishing a new relationship, how important those foundational things are with this new person for them to understand?
Well, understanding myself, understanding terminology like balance, because technically I don't believe in balance. Balance means
that
I'm not moving at a fast enough pace. What I believe in is juggling.
Mm.
Life is a rhythm. Whenever you juggle things, you touch everything the same amount of time.
Mm.
If you touch one too much, then you lose the rhythm and you drop everything.
Right. That's a good one.
I believe in juggling, because like I say, of course, I love God. That's first and foremost. But because I love God and because let me put it like this. An athlete, the greatest athlete in the world, let's just say a basketball player, he loves basketball. And because he loves basketball, this is also his profession. His profession is also his job. So you're talking about having to juggle all the other things to what I'm called to my profession and my job, which is, I think sometimes we put undue pressure on pastors apart from other professions.
Yes, we do.
We the only one to have a profession when they say you need to balance. A doctor don't balance.
No.
He work 8 hours a week.
Exactly. It's 7 days
a week.
It's prioritizing.
Nick, I almost call it a famous coach name. They don't balance.
Right.
They have 2 weeks off during the year. But right. When it comes, well, you need to balance. No, this is what I love. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I juggle. Okay, if I set aside 2 weeks for the family, that's going to be, it's going to be 2 weeks. Outside of that 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing what I love doing.
That's good.
That's
now,
beautiful.
If we set other priority, other times for that, is okay. But I just can't pop up, or I don't like to just pop up and say, hey, let's do this here. No, I'm working.
Right.
I'm doing my calling.
That makes sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we say. We believe in prioritizing, because whatever is first, if God is first, everything else is going to have its proper place. And so I think a part of when we don't hear the man's side, we don't hear the man's voice. And so I just want to know if you had one thing you would say to a woman who is, maybe she's been divorced, and what is something to give her an indicator of a man that would be a safe person to, because I believe that you got to be a wife before he finds you. You can't be a girlfriend. So what would you say to a woman?
You said something right there. You better preach now, Ms. Renee.
Because I think that's the thing is that, you know, you got to become a wife. And so what would you say to a woman who...
Easy. That's an easy question.
Okay.
Go for it.
You find you somebody that love God more than he love you.
Yes. Thank you.
If you do that, you okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you're going to compete with God, you in trouble.
Yes. Yes.
If you love God.
That is beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Pastor, we really, really appreciate you opening up and telling about all the things that you kind of experienced.
We got to do this again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just open up because, you know, that's where people hear the just like me factor.
Yeah.
They hear, man, you mean a pastor's gone through this?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like I have or just like you have.
We're human.
Absolutely. So if our audience wants to reach out and just contact you and see what's going on at United Christian Church, how can they get in touch with you and see what you're doing?
Oh, that's United Christian Church, Prattville. You can catch us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media outlets out there. The email is unitedprattville@hotmail.com or unitedprattville@gmail.com, whichever one you prefer. The phone number, of course, is 334-358-4954. I don't know what else I'm missing because I sound like I'm on Sunday morning. I said, you want to send a little cash out for us and text the gear? No.
No.
But seriously, United Prattville. If you put in it, Google anything and just put in United Prattville, all of those ways to contact us should pop up in that Google engine. I said Gucci. I must just go get me a Gucci purse.
Pastor Dickinson, we are so glad that you shared your precious
story
with us. And we pray that as a result of you being open and transparent, that as she finds herself, you will find her. And that God will allow his purpose. Because we believe that marriage is not where you go to get your needs met. Marriage is where you go to serve the kingdom with another person. And so I just pray that, you know, the person who has the same heart that you have, that God would connect you all. And, you know, we believe in rich relationships. We know that God has a plan. And just because we've had one experience, it doesn't have to define us. And you have definitely shown us that. So thank you for being a man after God's own heart and being willing to share your brokenness.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Rich relationship. Bless you. We speak blessings over all that you guys are doing in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for your investment in time. Remember to subscribe to the show and hit the notification icon to be notified when new episodes are posted on the podcast platform that you're listening from.
Or you can always find us on our website at richrelationshipsus.com. or our YouTube channel, Rich Relationships with Gil Renee. If you found this podcast helpful or you think it can help someone that you know and care about, please pass it along and share it with them.
And also, you can always send your questions and comments to richrelationships.us@gmail.com. This is a weekly podcast, and the new episodes are going to be posted on Monday by 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Remember, we're stronger together.
Let's grow.